Chapter 4, Legal Rights and Secrets. Kara arrived at the law firm's main floor office complex, less than 5 minutes before the designated time of the meeting. The firm's offices encompassed two full floors of the recently remodeled office building in downtown Toledo, Ohio. This former Rust Belt town on the shores of Lake Erie had taken on a new composure due to access to unpolluted fresh water that was in such short supply in most inland cities. With the expansion of technical, electrical, and magnetic field communications, many of the lawyers, paralegals, and administrative personnel worked from remote locations. But access to clean, fresh water was at a premium. Unbeknownst to Kara, the lead attorney on the case planned on leaving the firm and taking the potentially high-profile case with him. Ralph Maynard was bewitched by the idea of becoming famous. He had an undisclosed reading by a Malaysian psychic who advised him that he could become famous and that he'd be assisted by a woman lawyer who held high accolades from her prior military career. Coincidentally, both Ralph and Kara had attended a local yoga class that included drumming and chanting. Ralph, a small, slight man, fathoms himself as a guru and holds himself out as a spiritual adept. Kara, a physically competent athletic woman, former personal trainer and yoga instructor, also enjoys mentoring other students. One of her mentees, Jessie, told Ralph how much she appreciated Kara's help. Now, Ralph has a plan as to how he will fulfill his prophecy of repute and celebrity. Kara was escorted into a conference room where three men sat at the end of a medium-sized table with Ralph Maynard at the head. "Please take a seat. Take a seat where the microphone is located, Miss Trombley. Or should you be addressed as Major Trombley?" Inasmuch as the question was obviously rhetorical, as indicated by the smiles on the faces of the three men, Kara smiled and sat down. "Before we commence, there is a crucial issue that must be determined," stated Ralph Maynard. "We are on the record, Major. You have been provided with a legal brief on the right to die theory under which we are proceeding in representation of the guardian of the ward's person and property. Have you reviewed the brief?"
"Yes, Mr. Maynard," responded Kara.
"Do you have any personal, religious, cultural, philosophical, legal, or any other discord or disagreement with the right to die theory?"
"No, sir, I do not."
"Are you in agreement with advocating the discontinuation of all extraordinary medical measures, including tube feeding?"
"Yes, sir," replied Kara.
"Thank you, Major Trombley. Gentlemen, please proceed," concluded Ralph Maynard. For about 30 minutes, the men asked Kara general questions about her past history and objectives as a civilian attorney. Her distinguished service was mentioned, but Kara's service dog, assigned to her through the Veterans Administration, was merely glossed over as a minor consideration. The three lawyers were well aware of the rules and regulations set forth through the Americans with Disabilities Act. After the minor review of Kara's history in a congenial and friendly manner, Ralph took over the conversation. We would like to have someone of your caliber assist in currently pending litigation. The disputed issue deals with whether the husband, who is both the personal and property guardian of his wife, Catherine Marie Bryden, is allowed to discontinue life support from his comatose-like wife. The room went silent. No computer clicks, rustled papers, coughing, or other sounds pervaded the quiet. All eyes focused on Kara. Kara's words broke the frequency. Breathing easily, Kara said, "I would like to meet with the ward." "I was hoping you would say that." Ralph tapped on his iPad and focused his attention to information on his device. "Could you be at the nursing home Thursday, the day after tomorrow, at 2 p.m?" Kara nodded. "Penny will get you the pertinent information and has personal protection equipment for you." Ralph stated this as he stood up while placing his tablet on his physical file. Obviously, the meeting was adjourned. Kara backed away from the table, continuing her gaze on Ralph and the other two men before she turned to exit through the same conference room door where she had entered less than 50 minutes previously. A smirky smile came to her face as she thought, "Looks like this firm adheres to a less than 50-minute per hour billing principle." Maynard has a laudable legal theory and an honorable outcome. But what is it about him that I just don't trust? A familiar friendly face met Kara as she walked toward the hallway. "Penelope? Penelope Harris? How great it is to see you! How are you?" expressed Kara enthusiastically. "Kara? Major Kara Trombley? Oh my God, I'm so happy to see you," responded Penelope as the two women hugged. "Is Raquel here?" "No, he's waiting in the car," Kara replied. "What are you doing here?" "Oh, I was just transferred from MedMal to work for Ralph Maynor as paralegal in the Bryden case." "Are you the co-counsel they were interviewing?" asked Penelope. "Yes, they told me to speak with Penny about meeting at the nursing home on Thursday." "That's me, Penny," responded Penelope with a bit of scowl on her face. "Maynard shortens all the women's names. Probably makes him feel superior, in control." "It doesn't sound like you appreciate that very much," noted Kara. "Nope. We'll talk, but not here," Penelope replied. Penelope compiled all the pertinent information and disposable equipment and placed it in a plastic bag. She handed Kara a small piece of paper with her cell phone number written on it. The note read, "Call me